Let's get into the word today. Amen. So it's Labor Day weekend. Praise God. And the day that we celebrate those who keep this country moving, and the ones who work hard, the ones who labor hard, the ones who keep things happening, the shakers and movers, you know who we're honoring. We're honoring those of you that work every day, get out there and just really make something of your lives, make something of this great country that we're in, and other things. And unfortunately, and I say this more of a joke than anything, probably this Labor Day, we're not honoring as many, because there are still some people that are refusing to go to work. And there's all kinds of reasons for that. I'm not sure all of them are good. And, you know, you're getting a little extra money and things like that. But that's not my message today. I just thought it's kind of funny. We're honoring Labor Day and there's this whole workforce that's just refusing to go to work. And okay, we'd love to honor you. And there's jobs out there. So today we're taking a break from our summer theme. I don't know where I even got on that. Today we're taking a break from our summer theme of strong through the storm. And I'm going to speak in part of an ever-continuing series that I do three times a year in the summer. And I call that the Spirit of America. And in this, for 10 years now, or what I've been speaking, I take our summer holidays and I speak messages about God's Word, what God's Word has to say about America, the history of America, the future of America, where I think we're headed. I don't know if you remember back in January when I spoke the message after the administration's changed, that I thought that maybe by the end of the year, our president may not be the president anymore. Starting to hear a lot of rumors about that. So I told you that. I told you in January, you know, by the end of the year, he's going to be gone and they're going to replace him. And it's scary. It's scary to see what may come in his place, because we know who our vice president is and we know her agendas. And so it's scary. But we're starting to see some of this rumors taking place. And again, that's not part of my message. I just want to make it clear that this is all part of what we're living under right now, folks. It's craziness. It's lunacy. It's not the America that was God intended us to be. And so we started looking at the good, we start looking at the bad, we look at the starting of this nation, where we have come from since that starting, and hopefully as Americans who are believers in Jesus Christ, we will learn how to pray for our nation and how to appreciate what God has really given to us. That's my goal in these. And I know I hit some tough subjects sometimes. I don't think I'm going to hit them today in regards to things, but I know that. I know some of you squirm a little bit. I squirm sometimes, but I just say, Lord, lead me and guide me and give me the grace and give me a right attitude in doing so. So I know that last week's message had nothing to do with the Spirit of America series, but it lends itself so well to where I want to go today. If you remember, last week we were talking about Satan's counterfeit spirit. Do you remember that? The counterfeit spirit, and how those who are under his influence and those that are led astray in the issues of life, because it says, the Bible says, that the whole world that doesn't know Jesus Christ is under the sway of the evil one. And if you don't remember the whole gist of it, let me just give you two scriptures that we looked at. 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, the God of this age is Satan. And then over in 1 John 5:19, we read, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So basically, what we see here is that this world, and that means any systems of this world, any nations of this world that are not godly oriented, that are not, and there are some nations that are focused on God. There are some nations that have made, if you remember back in the 80s, there was a nation in Africa. I can't remember the nation. They were just suffering with AIDS. AIDS was huge. It was prevailing in this nation. And there was a new leader that came up who was a Christian. And I believe it was a woman, if I remember right. She called the nation to prayer. She filled the football stadiums or the soccer stadiums with prayers and intercessors. And what began to happen was the nation changed. And God began to heal them of the AIDS epidemic that was just ravaging their people. And I can't remember the nation. I haven't gone back in 20, 30 years to see what's happened in that nation. But it was pretty neat to see it happen. There was a video made about it. And it was very powerful to see that a nation that turns to God. Isn't it amazing that God's word is true? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, what will I do? I'll look after their country. It's a simple premise. It's a simple promise. And yet, you know, if America doesn't get it, I just don't know where this is all going. I really don't. With that in mind, let's go to our scriptures for today. Revelation chapter 12, verses 5 to 13. Revelation chapter 12, verses 5 to 13. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron, and her child was called up to God and his throne. Then the woman here, if you know prophecy, and we're going to get into some of this when we go into our prophetic series, Bible study, the woman is Israel. Israel bore a male child. We know who that male child was, right? Jesus Christ came out of Israel, right? He was a Jew. And so bore the male child, all the nations, he would rule the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up to God and his throne. We know that Jesus ascended to take his rightful place at the right hand of God. Then the woman Israel, now this is prophetic, the woman Israel fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. This has not happened yet. This will happen in the end time. Israel will have to flee. They will go to a place called Petra. Petra is a natural rock formation where they will live for this time period because three nations, China, Russia, and forget. Who? Nope. Worry about it. China, Russia, and something will come against them. And they will seek to destroy this woman. They will seek to destroy Israel. And so Israel will hide out. She will be taken care of in the rocks of Petra. And I've been to Petra. It's an amazing place to visit. And you can see why no army can get in there. It's just amazing. Now with the bombs we have today and all, I don't understand it. But I know that God always fights for Israel. Amen? And so war broke out in heaven. Get this. War is happening on earth. Israel's having to run to a place. But war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. The dragon is Satan. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon, Satan, was cast out, that serpent of old. Here's the verse I want to look at. That serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. If you don't believe in demonic forces, if you don't believe in demonic possession, if you don't believe that there's a demonic force on this earth, I want you to know 1/3 of all the angels in heaven were cast down with Lucifer. So they are very much, they have become demons. They have become spiritual beings that are serving the wrong side. They've turned to the dark side, if you're a Star Wars fan, okay? They've turned to the dark side. They don't look like Darth Maul. They don't look like, anybody else. They don't look like Emperor or whoever, but Palpatine. But they are evil, and they are ruling and reigning with Satan over the airways of this world. And it's going to get worse, folks. There are demons that we've not seen yet that God has held back that are going to start to be released in the end days. And so I believe that this thing called COVID is probably a demonic force of hell. But whatever the case, whatever you believe, that's fine. But it's just this, we see things happening. So he's cast out. Then I heard a loud voice, verse 10, saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Okay? Look back at verse 9 with me. That's where I want to go today. So the great dragon was cast out, Satan, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Who deceives the whole world. That serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. There it is again from last week. He is the great deceiver. He's the liar. He's the one that implants thoughts into mankind's mind about what they should be doing, though it may not always be the right thing, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Everything he says is a lie. Satan has never even uttered the word of God without perverting it. We know that in the garden. In the garden, he comes to Eve, right? Did he use the word of God? He most certainly did. But he took it out of context. Oh, God did not mean that you would die. Surely God wouldn't kill you, right? This is okay. And you know what? Even Adam and Eve died twice. They died spiritually the day they took of that fruit, and then they died at a certain age. Their physical body laid itself down. And we know from OSL that Jesus had to die two deaths. So he died a spiritual death. That's when he talks to his father and says, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" At that point, he's broken off from God, his spiritual death. And then he died a physical death because he had to die both deaths that man died so he could bring them back to life in both ways. Then we think of when Jesus is going for temptation, right? In the 40 days in the wilderness, does Satan not speak the word of God? He does, but he perverts it. He takes it out of context. And Jesus straightens it out very quickly when he says, "Thus saith the Lord." Yes, you're right, Satan. You are quoting something, but you're not quoting it right. You're not quoting the exact meaning of what my father meant. This is what my father meant. And so this is the way that it works. This is the way that it will be. And so this means that everything he says is a lie. Oh, I don't want to turn my page. Please don't. Okay, good. Everything he says is a lie. Those in the world are under his sway, the Bible says. And I want to tell you that the church, and when I say the church, I'm talking about you and I, that the church needs to be real careful in the day we're living in. Because I believe that the enemy is really striking out. And I talk to Christians, and I hear things Christians say, and I'm wondering, wow, that's not the word of God. That's not what God is saying about the situation. That's not, and I'm not taking my own interpretation of what God is saying. I've studied the word many years now. You know, I'm sure there are still some things interpretive that I need to figure out, and I ask the Lord to deal with those things. But for the most part, I would say I know the word of God decently, and that's not what God is saying about those things. Matthew 24:24, Jesus warned us, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Those are the false Christs. Those are the false prophets of that counterfeit spirit that we talked about last week. If you watched the message or if you joined us, I said Satan has a counterfeit. I don't want to say Holy Spirit. He's counterfeiting the Holy Spirit. It's not a Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual dark spirit, but he has a counterfeit spirit. And these are those false Christs. These are those false prophets. And folks, we're going to start to see some of those things. If this really is the time that I believe we're living in, if we are that close to Christ's return, and I'm just looking at the Middle East, and I'm just looking at the things that are happening, if this is the case, then we're going to see a rise in false Christs. We're going to see a rise in false prophets begin to arise. Because if the elect could be led astray, that they would be so cunning in their words, and they would tickle the itching ears so much, that who knows where some people who are sitting in the pews today may end up. And so be very careful. I don't say that to put a fear in your heart. I say that to put a love in your heart for the Word of God. Because the Word of God, led by the Holy Spirit, will always speak to us and lead us and guide us in the right ways. Okay? And we might think that the church has it all together. Yeah, but Pastor, we're listening to pastors speak. We're listening to the Word of God. God says that His Word will not return void. How could the elect be swayed any other way? How could it happen? Have you seen some of the things that are going on in churches today? I'm not judging it. I'm just saying, have you seen some of those things? Have you heard some of the messages that some pastors are speaking in regards to, well, Jesus didn't mean that when he said that. Now he means this, or the word changed because the world changed. Listen, the world can change. People can come out of the closet. People can do what they want to do. But the fact of the matter is, God's word never changes. God is just as strict and just as loving and just as compassionate and just as just as he was in the beginning, and what he wrote in his word is still his word. And so, I can let this happen in my home, or I can let this happen in my life. And we give those areas to Satan, really, because we're not really living according to what the word says. And I don't want to be a prude in any of this. It's just, folks, when are we going to, as the church, believe this is what God said, this is what he meant, and so I'm going to follow it? It's really simple. It's just, we got to die to ourselves. Do you know any of the history of the church and some of the atrocities that were done in the church because somebody told us this was the will of God? Truth withheld. Let me give you some things you may not know, but it's true. It's factual. Back in the Dark Ages, many people did not know how to read. They were not allowed to read. As a matter of fact, the Catholic Church kept the Bible to the leadership only and would not let the lay people read the Bible for a very long time. Some of them could not read, especially from the Dark Ages, because they were not taught. And what this did is this caused major persecution in the church, and it also caused major persecution by the church. The problem was that those who could not read had no way of checking to make sure that what they were being taught was truth. And so the leadership of the church, who can be corrupt, and who was corrupt, okay, in some areas, they were just telling the people what the Bible said, people not being able to check it. And so all across Europe, listen, there was a teaching that the Bible required both the state and the church to rule its citizens with a heavy hand. Okay? This is the Roman church, naturally. The state and the church have to rule the people with a heavy hand. Now think about this. These illiterate parishioners, bought into the lie because that's what they're being told. They couldn't check it in the Word, and watched and even participated in some horrible things that happened both religiously and civilly. Why? Because they were told that this is what God demanded of them. They were told that this is what God wanted. So let's bring that focus in a little tighter. What am I talking about? I just finished a book by Daniel Silver. Daniel Silver writes about an Israeli spy named Gabriel Allen. I have read probably, I think this is like the 20th book. And Gabriel Allen is an Israeli spy. And, you know, he fights for Israel naturally and does things like I told you about Mitch Rapp, who I read about in America. Allen is the Israeli side of that. And so I just finished this book. And in this book, the main story is focused on the Catholic Church's slaughter of the Jews. And I didn't know a lot about that. You know, when we think about the slaughter of the Jews, we think of the Germans. But what we don't realize is that there was a large portion of the church that told their leaders told them that they needed to slaughter the Jews because the Jews killed Christ. And we know that the Jews did kill Christ. We're not taking that from them. Now, this book would say that there was, again, it's an Israeli writer, so get that. So this book would say that the New Testament is wrong. And I had a struggle reading this book because I was like, oh man, I got to be strong here, because it really irritated me that some of the things that we see in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John aren't true. And that the Catholic Church had in their annals, which they don't have, they don't have a library like this, that they had a book by Pontius Pilate that said that it wasn't true, all that to say, but they were involved in the slaughter of the Jews, okay? They did that because the Jews had killed Jesus Christ, and so they had to deal with that. They were told by their leaders that God wanted them to kill the Jews because the Jews had killed Jesus. So God wanted the Jews to be punished for killing his son. Listen, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God gave his son. God understood that his son would be killed. The Jews are not wrong. And in the statement that they make, which Mel Gibson even had to take out of the movie because he got complained against, there was a phrase where they say in the book, in the Bible, let his blood be upon us. Pilate says, I wash my hands of this man's blood. And the Jews all holler out, then let his blood be upon us. Prophecy, right? I say, let his blood be upon us. We need the blood of Jesus upon us, or we're not free from our sin and from our brokenness. But this was where this was going. And I bring that up because a lot of Christians don't even know that Christians persecuted and killed Jews. And at that time, there was also something going on just as bad in the church. They wanted to purify themselves of the Jews, but they also wanted to purify themselves of any dissenters. And so in the church, they told them that God wanted to keep his doctrine and church pure, so they had to turn anyone in who did not believe the state-established orthodoxy. So in other words, if you see one of your brothers or sisters in church doing something that the state says is wrong, well, who's going to listen to the government anyway when it comes to our religious beliefs? Okay? Because we know they're always right. Right? I mean, come on. But if this was going against that, then what they did, and this is still coming out of the Dark Ages, what began to happen was they would turn on one another. So if I saw Tony doing something, I'd go to the leader, the priest or the pastor, whoever he was, the bishop, whatever, I'd say, hey, I saw Tony Kusick doing something that was against what the state says he can do. And you know what they would do? They would take Tony, they would torture him, and they would even kill him. The church would. This is what's going on in the name of God. And I'm saying, you know, these were God-loving people. They were sure that they were getting the truth. They thought that they were getting the truth. They were being told that God wanted them to do this. But we see that we had church leaders that wanted the power, that wanted the control. And so they wouldn't release to the people the truth. They released to the people what was happening because they were wicked. And I might add, they were from hell, right? These teachings are from hell. Because they understood it that if they were to keep the citizens and the parishioners under their rule, they needed to keep them from the knowledge of the truth. Amen? We see that a lot in the world today, don't we? Because how many know today that it's not just in the church, but it's also in the nations of the world? We have seen it in our country, and we continue to see it get more prevalent each and every day. If these people, these illiterate people, could have only read the Word, if they could have only had somebody who would tell them what the word meant, this would not have happened. They would have known God's word. They would have known the things that they were taught. They would have known that these leaders were lying and that these leaders were deceitful. The Bible makes it very clear, doesn't it, what God expects from us. The Bible makes it very clear in how we should walk with him and how we should walk through this life. And thank God for that. And I'll tell you what, thank God for William Tyndale. Thank God for George Wishart. Thank God for John Huss and John Rogers and Thomas Cranmer. If you don't know these names, look them up in the history of the church. But you know what? They tried to bring the word to the common man. They tried to make sure that there were places where people could get the Bible, know how to read the Bible, taught how to read it, and taught how to understand it. But you know what? They all saw what was happening. They became involved in the efforts to educate the illiterate. And you know what? They all gave their lives because they were all killed for doing it. You talk about the church against the church. This is what's going on. Martin, they were all burned at the stake. All those names that I just gave you were burned at the stake for trying to teach the illiterate how to read and understand the Word of God by the church and the state together. Martin Luther in Germany, we know him. John Knox in Scotland were declared outlaws and had to go into hiding for protection of their lives. Robert Brown was incarcerated and he died in prison. And many of their followers and many of their leaders suffered similar persecutions. But you know what that did? It pushed them because they realized that they weren't going to be able to live for Jesus Christ the way that they wanted to, the way that they felt. And so you know what they did? They said, we need to leave. We need to get out of here, and we need to go to the promised land. Now, there's two promised lands. There's Israel, we understand, for the Israelis, that's their promised land. And I believe that America was the promised land for everybody else. I believe that it was started with such godly principles. I'm not saying all those men were perfect. I'm not saying all those men had it all together. We know that some of them had, that all of them had slaves. We know that there were other situations with them and things like that. But I want you to know, this group of people that had been so persecuted, their leaders had been killed. They were learning the word. They were getting the truth of the word. They realized we can't stay here any longer. And so they set sail for this new land. They set sail for the country that you and I are living in today. Church, one of the things that the Lord has been speaking to me this summer in our summer reading, and I keep hearing it every week, and I don't know if I'm bringing it out every week, I don't always remember, but it's this, you got to have spiritual discernment. In the days that we're living, this Christian church has to rise up, the church of God has to rise up and have spiritual discernment. I believe that the wicked activity of the enemy is only going to continue to increase. I believe that it's only going to continue to grow stronger. And I believe that there are so many living in the, so many in the church, so many worshiping God, but they don't have the spiritual discernment to know what even right and wrong is. I believe that he's working on the church overtime. I think the church needs to be in prayer. I believe the church needs to be in a place where we're on our knees more than we're off of our knees, because I believe the enemy is having a field day in the church of God. Peter warns us in his first letter, 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He says, resist him steadfast in the faith. How do you resist him? Steadfast in the faith. What's the faith? This is the faith, right? Years ago, we had a series called The Way. Remember, living in the way. And we talked about Jesus being the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the early Christians in Jesus' time were called, not the church, they were called the way. You lived in the way. You walked in the way. You came into the way being, before the Mandalorian said it was the way, the way being Jesus Christ, right? Okay? And so we get that. I think some of my jokes are lost on some of you. It's all right. The Mandalorian was a good series, by the way, but if you're not in Star Wars, forget it. And so I'm amazed at what is being accepted in the norm, as norm in the church today. I'm amazed at the language that I hear in the church today and the thinking of the average American Christian. I'm not speaking about language of cussing. I'm not speaking about that. If that's you, you need to work that out. But I'm speaking about the things that go against our faith, the things that lessen our faith, the things that decrease our faith. Because, you know, somebody says, hey, will you pray for me? Oh, God can't do that. What do you mean God can't do that? God said he could do that. Yeah, but they're at stage 4 cancer, Pastor. Listen. They might be at stage 4 cancer. God says he's our healer. God says he can do it. God says he wants to do it. So you know how I'm going to pray for that person until the day that I'm laying their body in the ground? I'm going to pray that they're resurrected. I don't know if I got that kind of faith yet. I'm going to pray that they come up off that hospital bed, because Jesus is the healer. Stage 4 cancer is subject to the name of Jesus Christ. And so as long as they have breath in their body, I'm praying that they live. Amen? And then it's worse comes to worse. You know, my sister Sue, when my dad died, she said, well, what are you going to do? I'm like, what do you mean, what am I going to do? She goes, you're going to pray that he raises up? I said, no. I said, first of all, I don't have that type of faith. I wished I did. And secondly, I believe this is the plan of God. So, and I understood Sue. I mean, she wasn't crazy. That's Sue. She's got that childlike faith, and she was ready for her pastor brother to pull Dad right out of the bed, you know? Pastor brother wasn't ready for that, nor had God told me to do that. But I get it. That's faith. And so all this stuff's happening in the church. But I get it. If we don't, I think of the things that we say or are saying are okay in our country, but I get that also, because if we don't see that there needs to be a difference in the church, then we'll never see that there needs to be a difference in our country. And so what I'm saying is this, the title is Get Smart. Do you remember the series, Get Smart, Maxwell, right? What was his name? Maxwell Smart, yeah. And he was an agent and spoke on the, how many can't wait until you can put your cell phone down, just pick up your shoe and talk on your shoe, right? I mean, come on. Dick Tracy gave us the watch. I mean, I can talk on my watch now. I can see things on the watch. You know, I'm just waiting for the Maxwell Smart shoe. And the other thing that they promised me, and I'm so help me, if this doesn't happen by the time God takes me home, I'm going to be really mad. I want the Jetson car. I want the car where I don't have to pay for parking. I just carry it in my suitcase, and then it opens up, and I fly home. They promised me that would take place as I grew up, and I'm just waiting for the Jetson car. Where's Elon Musk when you need him? Where's Jeff Bezos when you need him, right? Come on, get us the flying car. I don't care about the electric car. I don't care if it guzzles gas, the flying car. I want the flying car. I just want the flying car. Get it. And so we need to get smart. We need to come to a place where we have this spiritual discernment, church. And I'm not saying smarter in the ways of the world. If you're trying to do something with your life, go to college. Go to a vocational school. Do an apprenticeship. Learn what you need to learn to be the best that God has called you to be. Get the wisdom that you need. Better yourself. But don't forget the wisdom of the Word of God. Don't forget to get smart spiritually. Amen? We need to get God smart. We need to get spiritually smart, because there are things that are coming against us. I'm just going to touch on a few things. I'm not going to go into depth. There's probably more important things in some of these that I'm not even thinking about. But these are things that came to my mind in America that the church doesn't always see wrong or isn't even speaking right about. The abortion situation in our country. It's out of hand. We are killing babies. We are killing human beings. And if you've walked down that path, know that there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Don't live under the condemnation that the enemy would try to bring upon you. Know that there's freedom in Christ. But let's talk about this. Our current president supports birth abortions, that after the baby's out of the womb, that baby can be killed a certain amount of time. I don't know what it is. I just know that that it's supported. Now, I'm not saying it's happening yet, but how long will that not be before that takes place if they're going to support it? Listen, the thought of this sounds sickening to me, but do we understand what God has to say about it? Man, when Israel forced their children to walk through the fires of Molech, God was furious. What were they doing? They were aborting their children. They were killing their children. They were sacrificing them to a false god. They were making them walk through the fire, and as they walked through the fire, they would be consumed by the fire. This was God's people. Don't tell me it can't happen in the church. This was Israel. They had his law. They had everything about him, his spirit, upon them. And still they did these crazy things. Do we understand what the biblical standpoint is to murder a child? Thank God for Texas. And we need to pray for them. They have just put a law in that says it is illegal to abort any baby 6 weeks after conception. People are furious, man. I've heard Christians come to me and say, how do they have the right to do that? How do they have the right to do that? The Bible tells us to protect those things. And so I'm already here. They're already trying. I heard President Biden the other day say, we're going to fight this. We're going to come against them. We're going to win. Okay, he's involved in that effort. I've been watching a lot of the news articles on this in Texas. And the first thing that I heard, well, it's a woman's right to choose. Don't even get me going on that. Do any of us have a right to choose today? And why doesn't that trickle down then into the hottest issue of the day? The vaccination issue. Don't we have a right to choose? Some pastors are calling it the mark of the beast. I just had a close family member who just got fired because they're not vaccinated. How do you do that? How can you do that? I know that I've gotten a call from school in the last 2 weeks. Are you vaccinated or not? And I said, you know what? That's not your business. Now, they're going to make it their business, and they're going to push back against me. And if I have to, I give up my job. Because I'm not going to let a government tell me what I need to do. Some pastors are calling it the mark of the beast. I don't think it's the mark of the beast, this vaccine. But I do think it's the government overreaching. And if you want to be vaccinated, be vaccinated. But if you don't want to be vaccinated, you should not have to feel like a third-rate person. You should not have to feel like the scum of the world. You should not have to feel like you're the evil person. You shouldn't have to. I've been doing research. It's research you won't hear on the news, but it's research nonetheless, and it's scientific. Follow the science, they say. Israel, the most vaccinated country in the world, has just done an amazing study. You can find it online. They have the most vaccinated people. They just did a study, and this study has proven that people who have had COVID within the last year, or who have had COVID, that their immune is better than somebody with two shots of the Pfizer, or whatever one is the two shots. That they have a better immunity against it. Listen, follow the science. But you won't hear that on the news. They won't even entertain it. But it's the truth. It's being done by scientists. Israel's a smart country, let me tell you. They know what they're doing. This Delta variant, again, you won't hear this, and they're trying to fight this, but the proof is there. What's the rate? The success rate, not the success rate, the livability rate is 99, almost 0.9% of people that get it. I just had a dear friend with it. And you know what? And he went through it majorly. Thank God he's out of the hospital. Now he's got a long road ahead of him. I'm not saying it's not killing people. I'm not saying that it's not to be, that it's, you know, that we don't do something about it. What I'm saying is we don't split the country over it. It's ridiculous. You want to be vaccinated, be vaccinated. You don't want to be vaccinated, don't be vaccinated. And nobody has a right to know whether you are or aren't. And if I was vaccinated, I would say the same thing. And here's how we win. We win by coming together and not letting the government separate us. So if you are vaccinated, you tell them it's none of your business. It's not their business. If you're not vaccinated, say it's none of their business. It's not their business. And if enough of us stand up and, well, the vaccinated are going to say, well, then, Pastor, they're going to make me do all the stuff that they're making unvaccinated do. Hey, do you believe in your freedom to say I am or I'm not, or I don't have to tell you? That's the thing. It's not about whether you're vaccinated or not. That's what they've made it. It's about your freedom to say, I don't have to tell you. Maybe I am vaccinated. You don't need to know that. These are some of the lies that the church is buying into. Why am I saying that? Pastor, that could never happen in the church. In Georgia, a pastor just posted that if you are not vaccinated and they are checking at the doors, if you are not vaccinated, you cannot attend his Baptist church. Don't tell me it's not going to sneak into the church. And listen, I don't want to know if you're vaccinated. You want to know if I'm vaccinated? It's really not your business. I'm not. And I'm not taking it. I'll give up my job if I have to. Okay? It's not because I believe there's something wrong with the vaccination. There's something not right. There's something that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me about that says this is not right. I'm not saying you're going to get sick. I'm not saying you're going to turn into a zombie. I'm not saying you're going to all these other things. Listen, I'm not that weird about that. I just know for me, I'm not doing it. If you've had it, great. Praise God. I hope you've had a great response from it. But some of the proof that's coming out now that you won't hear is that I don't need it. Well, Pastor, have you tested it? Yeah, we have. My wife was with our best friend for 2 days in his house when he had COVID. She drove him to the hospital to get him to the hospital when he wasn't breathing well. Did Kim get COVID? No. Why? Because I believe that we have immunities from the time that we have antibodies in our body that Israel says are even better than the shots than when we got it. I'm just telling you. Now, I know that they're going to say that's not true. I know medical can say it's not true. It's being proven. You're not going to hear it on the news. You're not going to see the news. This is why we need to know the truth. Listen, I don't care what your thoughts are on it, okay? I'm just saying they shouldn't have the right to ask us. They shouldn't have the right to fire us. They shouldn't have the right to say you're a bad person because you're not getting it. That's it. That's enough I'm going to say about it. The church is being told to back down. The church is being told not to stand up by our own leaders. Leaders are saying this. We have church leaders. Thank God I haven't heard it in Foursquare yet. And if we do hear it in Foursquare Church, we're leaving Foursquare. And we'll find another organization to join. Because if they start to tell us that in some of these social justice issues and some of these other things, these wacky things out there, if they start to tell us this is the way it needs to be, then you know what? No, that's not what God's Word says. It's not what God's Word says. And you know what? Then we aren't a Foursquare Church anymore. Now, praise God, I've not heard that in Foursquare, and I'm at least open to think that it probably won't happen. But who knows? A lot of people are bowing to this pressure of the world. I know the world is going to tell us these things. I get that. But what right do our leaders have to tell us? Why are pastors standing in the pulpit saying, you cannot come into our church if you're not vaccinated? Listen, we're going to care for you here. We're going to continue to spray our building. We're going to continue to have a mask side, a non-mask side. We're going to continue as things up to take steps that we need to take. We're going to keep you safe. Does that mean there won't be any transmission in our church? I don't know. I think I've seen you in the last 18 months take good care of one another. I've seen you care for one another. I've seen if you're not feeling well, if you've got the sniffles, you stay home and watch us online. Praise God. That's what a church should be. And so we're going to take care of our children. We're going to take care of one another. We're not going to bow to the fear. And you're not going to be checked at the door. And if you're vaccinated, you're not going to be allowed in or allowed out. Or if you're non-vaccinated, not allowed in or not allowed out. That's ludicrous in the church of God. So what happens if a person in that town, it's their time to get saved, and they can't get into that church? Praise God, I hope God leads them to another church, and I believe God would. But think about this. This thing in Afghanistan, church, this is totally wrong. I guess the question is, what are you believing about it? What are you hearing about? Do you know the truth? Did we need to get out of there? Yes, we did. Oh my gosh, we needed to get out of there. But there had to be a better way. Even my little pea brain, which I don't know much about anything that deals with government and those types of things except what I read, tells me that you cannot pull the military out until you get everybody out. And now they're telling us in the evening news, it's only about 100 or so. Not true. Don't believe it. We left about 10,000 Americans back in Afghanistan. It's proven. They're talking to people who served over there. We left upwards of 10,000, maybe less than that, but we have thousands of Americans that are ditched in Afghanistan. And I guarantee you what's going to happen is we're going to have Navy SEALs, and we're going to have some of our black ops groups that just say, you know what, this is enough. We don't leave people behind, and they're going to go in on their own and bring them out. I guarantee that's what's going to happen. You can't do that to people. This is America. We don't leave people behind. Maybe they were unvaccinated. Now, I don't bring these things up today to make any point but one. Again, whether you're with me, not against me, you might be mad at me. I get that. You know what? But listen, this is the point I want to bring out. This is what I want to close with. Did you know this was happening? Did you know a church was closing their doors to the unvaccinated? Did you know that there are about 8,000 to 10,000 Americans over in Afghanistan still? Did you know that Texas passed this abortion law and that our government is fighting it full-heartedly? I think they have a little more pressure than Texas does. I hope Texas wins. Did you know these things? What does God say about them? You have to make up your mind. You have to discern it. You have to look at it. And so I make one point. Did you know? What do you think? And then let's bring it down to what's important. What does God think? What does God say? You say, well, Pastor, you're a Republican. You don't like the Democrats. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. The reason why I can speak so freely is because I'm a conservative. I vote conservative family Christian values. And so there's Republicans that I don't like. There's Democrats that I don't like because they all come together and vote for the same stuff. But if you are a man or a woman in political office for family Christian conservative values, you don't believe in abortion, you're not fighting for the gay agenda, then guess what? You got my vote. I don't care what side. So it's not that I'm Republican. I'm not Republican. I've never chosen a side, and I refuse to drink the Jell-O or the juice. What does God think? I'll tell you what God thinks. God thinks there should be freedom in our lives. Jesus died so that we could have freedom. It's freedom to be. That's what America's about. That's what we work for. That's why we have Labor Day, so that we can do, so that we can be, so that we can make a difference in this country. It's freedom to worship God and know His word, like we could not do in other places. There are some countries that some of you might even come from where you can't worship the Lord the way that we're worshiping God today. And that is under attack. And that is wrong. If they tell churches that you can, if this governor, Murphy, tells this church, tells me as a pastor that I cannot open my door to unvaccinated people, then you got to know something. If you're unvaccinated, you can come to this church. I will not listen, because the word of God supersedes Governor Murphy. And the word of God says my church should be a place of prayer. My church should be a place of worship. And I tell you what, he can tell us we need to wear masks. I'll do that. He can tell us we need this and that. I'll do that. I get authority. I'm a man under authority. I get authority. But if he goes against the word of God and says, you cannot open your church, I want you to know, tell your friends and family, there is a church, and we won't be the only one that will be open to anybody. We will not ask. It's not our business. It's not their business. The other thing that I spoke about, all those things that I spoke about today are political jumbles, political problems. They're always going to exist. As long as we focus on man, as long as we put our trust in man, as long as we continue to elect a president and continue to elect mayors and continue to elect governors, we are going to have this problem. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. Sometimes there's things you can do about it. But no matter what, as long as we continue to put our trust in men and countries and governments, that's what's going to happen. But do you know God's word? That's what I wanted to ask today. That's the point I wanted to make. Do you know what it really says about these situations? Do you know what it really says about the things that we're facing? If we don't know that, I'm not saying you're illiterate, because I think we all can read, and we can read because of this, okay? Because of what Revelation 13, 9 says, we have the public school system. You didn't know that? I'll teach you that in just a minute as I close. But because of Revelation 13, 9, we have the public school system. So I know you're not illiterate, but are you reading the word? Are you understanding it? Are you asking God to make it real to you? If not, you're no better than the Christians who killed the Jews. You're no better than the ones that turned on each other and turned in brothers and sisters to be tortured and killed because that's what God wanted them to do. Let me close this out today. Here's how this all came about from Revelation 13, 9. So now they're coming to America. When those early colonists arrived, the Bible was still a relatively new book to them, having been sealed up for centuries. As they personally examined the scriptures and saw how dramatically the word of God actually differed from what they had been told, they became convinced that citizens never would have tolerated the atrocities if they had known God's word. Had they known, they would not have been as so easily deceived, but would have been able to fight the good fight. The word of God came alive to them, just as it states in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Their conclusion simply reflected what the Bible had long before affirmed in Psalm 119, 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Knowing and internalizing God's word prevents sin, whether personally or nationally. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. His request of the Father, and we read the scriptures just a few weeks ago, his request of the Father is that he would sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth, John 17:17. For a people who had lived in darkness for so long and had been held captive to it in ignorance, the word of God quickly became their most sacred treasure. The early American colonists therefore enacted America's first public education law in a deliberate effort to prevent the abuse of power that can be imposed on a biblically illiterate people. The law known as, listen to this, this is the law. The law known as the Old Deluder Satan Law. Do you know we have a law like that in America? The Old Deluder Satan Law, because he's a liar, passed in Massachusetts in 1642 and then in Connecticut in 1647. Explained why students needed an education and how it was to be accomplished. Here's what they said. This is the writing. It being one chief project of that old deluder, Satan, to keep men from the knowledge of the scriptures, as in former times by keeping them, the scriptures, in an unknown tongue, so in these latter times by persuading from the use of tongues, common languages, that at least the true sense and meaning of the original might be clouded and corrupted with false glosses of, I still need more glasses. False glosses of saint-seeming deceivers, and that learning may not be buried in the grave of our forefathers in church and commonwealth, the Lord assisting our endeavors, it is therefore ordered that every township within this jurisdiction, after the law hath increased them to the number of 50 households, shall then forthwith appoint one within their town to teach all such children that shall resort to him to write and read. And it is further ordered that where any town shall increase to the number of 100 families or householders, they shall set up a grammar school, the masters thereof being able to instruct youth so far as they may be fitted for the university. This public school law was passed to prevent that old deluder Satan from keeping men from the knowledge of the scriptures, as he had done in Europe for the previous several centuries. The law therefore required that local schools be started to teach all the children to read the Bible. Subsequent American literacy laws also stressed the importance of citizens knowing the scriptures, as a 1690 Connecticut law which declared, the legislator observing that there are many persons unable to read the English tongue and thereby incapable to read the holy word of God or the good laws of this colony, it is ordered that all parents and masters shall cause their respective children and servants as they are capable to be taught to read distinctly the English tongue. We have public schools today. Your public schools today are also calling people at home and saying, are you vaccinated? And if you're not vaccinated by October something, there's a good chance you will lose your job. Public schools that are here for what? To teach us to read the Word of God. Not to teach us American secularism, not to teach us that America and white people are bad, not to teach us that these things are happening around us, or what we that Johnny can change his name to Jill, not to teach us that all these other things can take place. Your school that your kid goes to was taught to read them how to read the Bible. And guess what? The Bible's been thrown out to accept every other thing. I don't know what the answer to all of this is. I just wanted you to know a little bit of American history. I wanted you to see some of the things that you're being lied about, and I think so many Christians are just buying full force into. When a church closes its doors to the unvaccinated, that's a sad thing. And I just don't get it. And I can't fight it. That pastor has a right to do what he wants to do. I just think it's wrong. And folks, we need to pray. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our administration. I don't know how they're going to handle this with the president. I just hate to see President Joe Biden be cast out and be thought of as a failure, because that man thinks he's giving everything to America. He really believes that. And they're just telling him what to do, how to do it. And then I believe that probably by the end of this year, I still believe that my message in January is still true. By the end of this year, he will not be our president anymore. They will pull the 25th Amendment and remove him, because they're going to say that he's not able to do what he was elected to do. If you voted for him, that's a sad day. It's a sadder day when we get what we're going to get in his place. Because I'm going to tell you, this woman is evil, downright hellish, and will unleash things upon this country that I can't even imagine. But we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. Pray for our president. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our churches. We need to pray for these things that are happening around us. We need to pray for those that are stuck in Afghanistan, because the Taliban will use them. Whatever deal's been made with the Taliban, it won't last long. When the money stops flowing from the government, they will turn and they will kill these people, and it will be on every TV station as they cut their heads off. And it's going to be a sad day. We need to get them out of there. Pray for them. Pray that they can find family members that can hide them. Pray that they can find other ways out. Pray that, I don't know, just pray. Pray. Those are Americans. Those are our brothers and sisters.